Everybody, what's going on? It's another week. It's another episode. This is coverage season. It's your boy, Easy Ollie.
And it's your boy, D Dubs. And we're back to give you week two, our thoughts. And we want to know what your thoughts are, too. So let's get into it, Ollie. What's going on? Let's break it down.
Well, first and foremost, we definitely got to talk about the players and teams that we see that are on the top of the league right now and on the top of the list. I definitely, of course, want to go ahead and apologize this week's episode speaking about players because we kept calling Hollywood Brown Malcolm.
Oh, yeah, that was a mishap. Mishap of the week.
It's definitely marquee. You know how these things go. You know, you definitely mess up. But we're new to this. That's why we have you fans. Keep us on our toes. And, you know, this is what we do. But let's go ahead and get into it. Our top 10 players of the season so far. I mean, I know it's a young season, but based on what we've seen from week one and what we've seen from the tail end of last season, D-Dubs, go ahead, man. Tell me your top 10 players of the league in the league so far.
I mean, it's in no specific order, but I got my top 10 players right here. You know, I got Todd Gurley, Patrick Mahomes, Khalil Mack, Drew Brees, Aaron Donald, Antonio Brown, Aaron Rodgers, and Julio Jones and Von Miller. These are my top 10 players right now. And I want to know what's going on. Anybody got something to say about it, they can come see me.
Yeah, man. I mean, is that in a specific order or that's just all around?
Okay. Not a specific order. If you want my top player right now is Tom Brady.
Okay. And that's probably where we come to a little bit of a disagreement. I know I got a good friend of mine that we have this argument all the time. But you know, definitely this is mine in order, my top 10 players. I've got Aaron Rodgers. And we'll get to that debate, Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady. At number two, I have Tom Brady.
Are you going from descending or ascending 10 to 1 or 1 to 10?
Oh no, this is 1 to 10. This is 1 to 10. I've got Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Khalil Mack. I do have Saquon Barkley number 4, Alvin Kamara, Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, Aaron Donald, Ezekiel Elliott, and yes, my number 10, and this was a little hard because I really wanted to put another cornerback here, but Aqib Talib. It was very close between him and Stephon Gilmore. But, I mean, a lot of people don't talk about it, but in the last 5 years or so, Aqib Talib has been the number one shutdown corner in the league, and I really don't think anybody else compares. But let's go ahead and dive into the argument of Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady a little bit. I know Brady has the rings. He has, you know, the best coach in the history of the sport. You know, he has all the accolades, the MVPs. You know, he's done.
He's also got Deflategate. You can't remember Deflategate. You can't forget that.
Yeah, I mean, I know all of the accusations and all the good things and the bad things about Tom Brady. But, I mean, when it comes down to it, I mean, I think as far as pure talent, Brady is good. He has a good ball that he throws. He's pretty accurate. He doesn't throw many interceptions. But Aaron Rodgers is better at all of those things. He's a better passer. He's more accurate. He definitely doesn't throw many interceptions.
Okay. All right.
Yes,
you're right. Definitely right with the interceptions. But I have a question. Do you think if Aaron Rodgers was in the system that Tom Brady is in right now, do you think he'd have the 6 rings?
Man, he'd probably have 8 rings, man. If you put Aaron Rodgers with Bill Belichick, there's no way those guys don't have 8-9 rings right now. With the amount of time that Tom Brady has spent, he's a better quarterback. So, I mean, the production is only going to be so much better. Can you imagine Aaron Rodgers in 07 with Randy Moss, Wes Welker? Can you imagine him with Gronkowski? Can you imagine him with Julian Edelman, Danny Amendola? Aaron Rodgers would be like, there's no way we wouldn't be talking about Aaron Rodgers as the greatest athlete or the greatest player ever. I mean, I know a lot of people sometimes, and, you know, I've read articles before that, you know, he rubs people the wrong way and, you know, he's not really friendly. He's a selfish guy. I don't care. If you are that good and you know that you're that good, you should walk around like you that good. You should act like you're that good. You know, like if somebody doesn't like it, oh, well. But I mean, just as a product, what he produces on the field every week. We've never seen what Aaron Rodgers have done. I mean, just taking context, the Hail Marys. No one. He has like 3 to his name. Some quarterbacks like have none ever.
And you know who has the other Hail Marys?
Favre?
Mm-mm. Your other guy. Eli.
Oh, he does. He had one in the conference championship game in San Francisco a few years ago, back in 2011 to Hakeem Nicks. I mean, yeah, he does. Yeah, that's my guy, Manning. Unfortunately, you know, with time, he's not, you know, in my top 10. I mean, at a point in time, you know, Eli was probably in the top 10.
He's definitely not top 10. He's definitely not top 10.
But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback,
okay.
I mean, and, I think he just excels at every level. He's the best player at the position. He proves it every week. And I think that he does a good job.
And, you know, last episode, we definitely talked about defense, you know, winning championships. And, you know, this one guy that we talked about that is definitely on both our lists, Khalil Mack. And we both know why.
Oh, yeah.
Because Khalil Mack, he changes games. We're talking about forced fumbles, sacks. He does it all, and he's great in coverage. He can get from, you know, the pass and run option plays off the ball. He's very versatile. He can move around all the field. He's a ball hawk, and the man is a beast. Brings up Chicago's defense. They're already a solidified defense, but he does make it a lot better. I mean, it's a steal for them because, you know, he came over from Oakland and they gave him away.
They practically gave him away.
So he's coming over there to ball out, and I think they are going to be a top team. Their offense is coming together. They're not looking too bad, but we're going to have to see how they do up in week two and follow up with their week one performance.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely a game changer. Khalil Mack, in our lifetime, I mean, we're in our late 20s, you know, in our lifetime, we have only seen 4 elite, I would say, game changers on defense. And I'm going to go ahead and list them. And it's crazy that 3 of my 4 elite players on defense, mm-hmm. game changers, are safeties.
Yes.
Troy Polamalu, Brian Dawkins, Ed Reed, and Ray Lewis.
Come on, man. You put Sean Taylor in there. I feel disrespected.
I mean, Sean Taylor, yeah. But I mean,
changing games every time.
He was a game changer, but unfortunately for Sean Taylor, you know, he didn't do it for a long time. Unfortunately,
you're right.
I mean, he definitely would have been on the list, of course, had he played longer. For his short time, he definitely excelled as a player. I mean, one of the best safeties ever. So, like, I mean, I definitely understand that. But we can't account that over some of the players who definitely played longer and had stellar careers.
I picked Sean Taylor over Dawkins and Ed Reed.
As a game changer in our generation.
I'm telling you right now, I picked Sean Taylor over Ed Reed and Dawkins right now. Sean Taylor was a game changer. He had his rookie year and how many interceptions he had? Hold up.
Sean Taylor was definitely a great player, but we cannot put him over Brian Dawkins or Ed Reed ever. I'm sorry.
In his short time
that he played football, yes, he was a great player, but he was not on the level of Ed Reed or Brian Dawkins. Ed Reed was a baller.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I there's no disrespect to Sean Taylor. He was a great player, but Ed Reed was a baller. Troy Polamalu was a baller.
For sure.
Brian Dawkins was a baller. Those guys were game changers. And that is the level that Khalil Mack is on now.
Yeah, this is true.
Now, he is definitely a game changer on defense. Like, there's no doubt about it. And if Sean Taylor were to still be playing right now, he would probably be the number one safety in the league. There's no doubt about that. You know, we're not arguing that. But, however, for his short time and his body of work in that short time, it does not make him on the level of Ed Reed or Troy Polamalu. Now, I mean, Khalil Mack in his own right, we haven't seen a linebacker hybrid defensive end like that since maybe Sean Taylor.
Yeah, I wanted him in that top list, but he was only in the league for what, 3-4 years?
Yeah, like we haven't seen that. Like Sean Taylor as a defensive back, he could play the slot. He could play up on a second level like a linebacker, and he definitely did his thing back there as a safety. We haven't seen anything like that. But Khalil Mack, unfortunately, has had a longer career so far.
Yeah, this is true.
But he is definitely a game changer. I mean, I think he's the best defensive player in the league right now. I don't think there's another better defensive player than Khalil Mack. Aaron Donald is a close 1A. Like, he's very close. He's dominant. He can rush the passer. He definitely can get, in the backfield, with two or three guys on him. He does not leave his work undone on the field. He finishes drives. He finishes tackles. He's an efficient player, and he definitely does the job that he needs to do. But Khalil Mack, I think you need a player like him to win a championship. And the Chicago Bears happened to have him on their team. It was a great trade for them last offseason. He's completely transformed the way that the team operates. People forget that before he got there, Chicago was okay defensively. Having him, that one piece there with the talent that they already had acquired, just elevated everybody else's play. It's rare that a player comes in and one player and elevates everyone's play.
Well, you can't
say
that about Tom Brady. Tom Brady doesn't elevate someone's play?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course he does. But, I mean, he's not Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has Geronimo Allison and can make him a number one receiver. Look what he's done to some of the players that he's had. When they leave the pack, it's not much. Outside of maybe Randall Cobb this season, who has a opportunity to produce in the offense that he's in, but Aaron Rodgers has elevated everyone around him. Look at, when they won the Super Bowl, Have you heard of anybody else from that team ever since then? Greg Jennings got paid to go to Minnesota Vikings, and what did he do?
You're right.
Nothing. So, he made players.
You could say the same about the Patriots too. About how everybody who
you definitely the Patriots, can. You definitely
you
can.
You know that Belichick doesn't get rid of players that could win. You don't get players.
You're right.
That can't help him win. So
you're definitely right in that regard. And I mean, like, there's no doubt about it. He has six rings, and he has the rings to prove it, how good he is. But I think if you sit back and you look at the body of work statistically, games won wise, I mean, like touchdown to interception ratio, all of those things, passer ratings, the numbers back Aaron Rodgers up.
True.
And the closest quarterback that I would even put into that discussion in this era, I let Peyton Manning slide because he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's already gone out the league, so I'm not even going to put Peyton in this conversation. I'm talking about current players right now. If there was any quarterback to even be close to them to, it would be Drew Brees.
True.
And, like, he holds records himself as a quarterback. But I think, like, if you put them three in a pot and you had to choose one to go and to when the ship goes down, you had to choose one of those quarterbacks. I'm choosing Aaron Rodgers every single time. There's no way around it. I'm choosing Aaron every single time. I know that he's definitely gonna give me.
I'm not gonna lie. I want the
gunslinger. Yeah, he's a gunslinger. Exactly. He's a gunslinger that's gonna get you a shot to win it all every single time. And you know it may not be what you want your typical quarterback to do. It may not be what you think Tom Brady would have done or what Peyton would have done or what Brett would have done. He in his own right will do his own thing and get you to where you want to go. So, I definitely think in that regard he's better. We're going to quickly go through the list again, and I just want to say Saquon, Kamara, I think those guys are top-notch running backs. Brown and Hopkins, definitely, in terms of wide receivers. And I definitely like Tlaib, who I said was the top cornerback to me in my on my chart. But, I just want to dive into our top 10 teams real quick before we end this segment of our show today. So just real quick. This is in order for me, my top 10 teams, and I have the Patriots number one, the Cowboys number two, the Rams number three, and we'll get to the Cowboys and Rams soon, Chargers four, Bears five, the Chiefs made my list. Believe it or not, they made my list. We'll talk about why they almost didn't. We have the Packers, the Saints, the Ravens, and the Eagles. Let me know your top 10 teams.
We had something close, but we also had something different. My top 10 teams are the Patriots, the Chiefs, the Cowboys, the Rams, the Ravens, the Eagles, the Saints, the Vikings, the Texans, and the Raiders. And those are my top 10 teams in order.
Okay. Just to jump right off, I'm gonna go ahead. I know everybody listening is probably like, "Well, your Chiefs just made the list." I'm gonna tell you guys why the Chiefs just made my list. I think in order for the Chiefs, they have a high-powered offense. I'm not worried about the offense. I think in order for the Chiefs to win, they have to be special on defense. I think in the AFC Championship game last season, they were a few penalties. Bad call penalties at that, and a few, unnecessary roughness, and there was a pass interference call at the end. Also, they were a special play away from going to the Super Bowl last year. I think that they addressed the situation number one by getting Frank Clark. I think Frank Clark is a game changer.
What about Tyrann Mathieu?
I think that's. I think he's solid. He's a special player. The Honey Badger can do multiple things on defense.
The strong safety or the free safety come up on the blitz and he makes plays. I like that about him on defense.
Exactly. And that new style of money backer position where he can come up and be that extra linebacker. I definitely think he excels in those roles. Nickel. However, yeah, exactly, covering the slot sometimes too. However, this team needs to be strong. I don't think they have enough linebackers, and I don't think they have enough secondary playmakers to do anything special this year. Now, I like Patrick Mahomes. The biggest question is, can he do it again, what he did last year? I honestly think he could be very close to that. I think he's the real deal. I don't think he's in my top five quarterbacks just yet. The reason being, I want to see him do it again, but I don't think he can. I think it's definitely something that is in his reach. But I think the Chiefs, similar to the Saints on my list, and that's why I have the Saints so low on the list. I have them eighth. I have the Saints this low because I don't believe in their defense. I think their defense is suspect, and we saw that last Monday where they couldn't stop the Texans. They just barely won the game, and yes, the Saints, Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, who I think is probably lights out as a receiver. They have all the tools to really score all the points that they want, but what are they going to do on defense? You cannot win without stopping the other team. So, you know, that's why I have those teams so low on my list. I know we have similar teams on the list, but you had the Raiders on your list. How do the Raiders make your top 10 team?
Okay, so the Raiders made my top 10 teams. Did you not see Derek Carr? He was elite. 400 yards. Not 400 yards. He had over 200 yards, and he had over 3 touchdowns. And you talking about coming over adversity, for them to come and, you know, after the whole Antonio Brown debacle and win the way that they did, they are in my top 10. Especially that rookie, Josh Jacobs. Come on. That performance was phenomenal.
I really like Josh Jacobs.
Antonio who is what they're saying right now. And the fact that their offense was able to, produce it the way that they did, it was incredible. You know, 259 yards, a TD, 121 passer rating. He was 22 for 26. Derek Carr is elite. And I think he deserves to be in the top 10. And they were number 10. And their defense turned it around, too. Their defense is coming together. They were making plays on defense. And that's what helped them ultimately in the end.
We talked about the AFC West a little bit last week, and I told you that I thought that they were building something pretty good. I don't have them as a top team, 10 team yet. I think that they still have a lot to prove. They definitely improved the team as far as the offensive line goes, as far as the defense goes. I think they got some playmakers on defense now, especially in the secondary that they didn't have a year ago. You know, Jonathan Abrams getting is that his name? I think it may. You know, we're new to this. I'm sorry, guys. But the safety that they got from Mississippi State, he's injured. He's probably gone for this season, and that's sad to see. But they really did a good thing this offseason building up the team. As far as the top of the list, the top of the charts. I got the Cowboys second and the Rams third. And I know the Rams made it to the Super Bowl last year. It was a good defensive game, but they ultimately lost to the Patriots. I think the Cowboys, outside of last week playing the Giants, who I thought was not really much competition to them. Nope, I think no this week is going to be better all. Competition. Yeah, I think this week with Washington, they're playing a better team. I think they're playing a team that is equally equally adequate, and, you know, they're
formidable.
Not the best defense. Yeah, they're not the best defense, but they're solid enough where they can give the Cowboys some trouble on defense.
And look who's in their secondary.
I think
secondary.
They're good at stopping the run.
We were just talking about the secondary earlier. You got Landon Collins.
Yeah,
you
I
got,
mean, with and, Landon
and
Collins.
Kamari, and you got Josh Norman.
Exactly.
So let's see how well, you know, that guy
exactly.
can throw that ball next week. Sorry.
In terms of their secondary, I think that the biggest thing that Washington has going on for them is they can stop the run. And once you can stop the run and you force another team to consistently throw the rock, then you have an advantage where you can just drop players back and force them to throw, and you can have the opportunity to make plays in the secondary. Now, I think that with their defensive line, which I really like, with Payne in the middle, with Iadonis and Allen, I think those three up front in that 3-4 do a good job at filling up the holes, allowing the linebackers to shoot through the gap and make plays. I also like the fact that back in the secondary, Monte Nicholson in free safety, I like him. I think he's athletic enough. I think that he has enough range back there to cause some trouble, and enough speed to come up and make plays if necessary. However, Dallas is a very good team. Offensively, they have weapons. Ezekiel Elliott, they now have the up-and-coming Tony Pollard. They have Randall Cobb, who we talked, I said earlier, he might be the only former Green Bay Packer to have production after leaving Green Bay. I think last week's game showed it. Amari Cooper, I think, is a number one receiver.
For sure. He's definitely number one receiver.
You know, he's not elite, but I think he's great. He's a great route runner. he can do things that I think help the team produce with Ezekiel, with Dak. He's a security blanket for that team. And, you know, I think that the Cowboys really, really have a better team than the Rams right now. And if they can keep up a level of play, we'll see after this week's game with better competition. If they can keep that going, I think the sky's the limit for this team.
And everything that you have mentioned is absolutely correct. Their offense, the weapons, the additions that they made this year, and with Zeke, now you can get him on you know, managed loads, because you also have Tony Pollard as a backup. Yep. So now I think we're going back to what we used to see in the early 90s, where we had two back systems where you're going to be interchanging, and we have a lot of other teams that have two backs as well. Now it's going to be interesting to see how it matches up against some of these new defenses.
Yup. And just to touch on what you just said, the Patriots in their last few Super Bowls have done the same thing over and over and over and over again. Pounding you on defense, making sure you can't get anything going, and then destroying you with two running backs. Yeah. Destroying you with two running backs. You got one in the passing game, you got one in the running game. You know, and exactly. And what people don't understand is, when as a defensive player, when you're tackling different players, there's different styles of different players. You have to do different things defensively. Not only, you know, people think that just on offense, like, hey, it's two different backs and, you know, they're going to run two different styles. On defense, you have to do different things too. You can't go out trying to tackle the small guy the same way you're going out trying to tackle the big guy. You know, you can't go and try to tackle the shifty guy the same way you're trying to tackle the guy who's going to try to run it up the middle. You know, so on defense, these guys also have to adapt. And, you know, what that does is it puts a toll on the defense throughout the game. So, you know, it gets them tired quicker. You know, it changes that. It makes your offense, you know, able to keep running the football, kill them with the play action, the bootlegs, and all of those things. So, you know, I think that having that two-back system, it really helps these guys.
You're absolutely correct. And it's going to continue to help them and wear out these defenses. You could even see it. The Rams, they did it with Todd Gurley. He went up and he finished up the game, even though he didn't, you know, have a 100-yard game and 100 touches. He went out there fresh legs and pounded the ground, and they were able to capitalize on that game. So I want to see how, like you said, with these new defenses, defense wins championships, but these offenses are now getting a second.
Yep, you're definitely right about that. Quickly, we gave y'all the top 10 players and the top 10 teams. We want to go ahead, of course, talk about
top five games. Exactly. Y'all ready for this?
We got some good games on tap. Let's go ahead and talk about your number one game of the week.
Okay, so my number one game of the week is the Browns versus the Jets. Monday Night Football. We really like to see Monday Night Football games as one of the top games of the week, because it's on such a special platform. It's the only game of the night. It's the best game of the week sometimes. And when it is very competitive, it is very, very good to watch on a Monday night compared to Sunday, where you're watching a whole bunch of games. But this is one of my games of the week, because the Browns on paper are elite. Now, their week one performance was beyond subpar. Like, if there was a subpar, then that's what you would call it, because they did not perform at all. Their defense was terrible. Their offense was barely clicking. They had a few plays here and there. Most of it, the only highlights that I could really call were, you know, OBJ and the watch and a few pass plays here and there. And that's really it. So they're going to need to step that up. You know, Baker Mayfield was getting hit, and he was getting hit early. They couldn't protect him like the way that they should. I think that the offensive line needs to come together to be able to perform the way that they should be performing, the way that we expect them to be performing. OBJ did look good. Their offense also looked good. Chubb looked good. And Njoku looked incredible as well. He had a few nice catches in the game. That boy is special. And when I mean special, he kind of reminds me of like a different version of Jeremy Shockey, where he's gritty. He's not afraid to put his shoulder down. He makes plays and he catches the ball.
Very good hands.
Very, very good hands. That's one thing that I have to say. He has very good hands. And he's big. He's very, very big. So he's going to be very effective. If Baker Mayfield can use him more efficiently as a check down target, then, you know, I could also see them going a long way. But it starts with that line. That line needs help. But on the other side, we have the Jets. coming off a bad loss. And to be honest, I think they look good. They look really, really good. Le'Veon Bell looked great with two touchdowns. With a touchdown and that extra point that he had in there in the second half. Looked really, really good. Their offense is solidified. I think now with the running game as solidified as it is, their passing game is getting better. And, you know, with Aaron Donald and the way that he could throw the ball, I think they're going to be something to watch. Defensively, Jamal Adams, how much more do I got to say? He is a beast. He's a ball hawk, and he's flying all over the place, and he's causing havoc. I think he's going to be someone to watch on the Jets defense, and I think he's going to have a field day with Baker Mayfield. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, who you got? Who you got winning this game?
I think the Browns are going to come out on top.
That's a fair assessment, and the only reason I agree with that one, with the Browns winning that one, is because of Mono. I think with Sam Darnold being out, I think Trevor Siemian stepping in. The running game may help them. I think it's actually going to be a closer game than people expect. But I like everything that the Jets got going on. I think that they need better help with receivers.
What do you think is going to be the score?
The score of the game, I think, is probably going to be like 24-20 Browns.
Oh, yeah. Fair assessment.
That's 24-20 Browns. I think that the Jets need better help at receiver. I think that, especially in this offseason, and maybe with available trades, I think that with the market being open, Kenny Stills was probably a player that they wanted to get. I know that the Dolphins are you know, starting over, so, you know, Devontae Parker might be a player that they might want to try to target. But I think outside of that, though, they're a pretty good team. They got definitely good players on defense, and they got weapons on offense. I think a lot of people thought that Le'Veon Bell would be rusty, but let's not forget, Le'Veon Bell before last season was the best back in the NFL. I think that he's
injured right now, so we have to see what's going on with his injury update. They did say he did hurt his shoulder, so we have to check on that and see if it's going to be a game time decision or if it's going to be, you know,
right,
if he's not going
right
to play.
Right.
So we
got you're definitely right about that. But let's go ahead and dive into the second game of the week, which is the Redskins and the Cowboys. Huge rivalry. You know, I live in a city where it's the number one rivalry. In this area that I live in, you probably get 80% Redskins fans, 15% Cowboy fans, and then maybe 3%. Yeah, 3% Eagles and 2% Giants. Or it might be the other way around. But it's a huge rivalry around here, man. And this is going to be a big game.
We definitely talked about this one earlier, too, about the defense
exactly
and the offense.
Exactly. So, this is going to be a big game. This is early in the season, so they really get a chance to test each other.
I have
the Cowboys winning this one 35-17. The reason I have the score such a lopsided score, I believe the this is the week that Case Keenum gets replaced. I think that the Cowboys defense is going to put some pressure on them early. I think that they're going to get them a little rattled. We have to see production from their receivers, from the Redskins receivers. I know Terry McLaurin had a great game last week. Jordan Reed is out this week. He's not going to be playing. He's hurt. So I think that's going to put a little bit of pressure on them. I know Vernon Davis is Vernon Davis is still a good tight end, but he's like one of those red zone tight ends. You know what I mean? You can't ask him to really do much right now at this point in his career. He can't be your top guy. I think that the Jordan Reed situation is a little bit unfortunate. I think he's their best overall pass catcher. But I think him not being in the game, they're going to be able to pressure the Redskins a little bit more. They're going to get Case Keenum rattled, and we may see a switch and get Dwayne Haskins in, get him familiar with the rivalry, get him familiar with the Cowboys, because you are going to have to play them again at some point this season. So I think that may be the only reason that the game gets lopsided. Now, if that doesn't happen and the Cowboys don't put any pressure on them and the Cowboys play subpar because they're playing a better team than they did last week, then of course the Redskins have a chance to win. But we'll see. It's going to definitely be a better game for them. You know, but I still have the Cowboys coming out on top. You know, I think they're the second best team in football, man. And it, you know, I think they're really built well. Their quarterback is playing at a high level. You know, it's coming from the end of last season. Zeke, I think, is going to get in the rhythm. Mm-hmm. And of course, Amari Cooper, man. So I think that, you know, they're going to just overwhelm the Redskins secondary a little bit too much today. And they're going to get the job done. We also have another NFC East team on our top 10 games, and it's the Giants versus the Bills. This game sucks. It's our top game of the week, but it's the sucky top game of the week. And it's because, we have the Bills who look like they want to be a better team. They look like they're building something. They got some weapons. But you still have Frank Gore as your number one back, or, you know, so it's like give Singletary the keys to the Lamborghini, let him do his thing. You know, I like the Bills still winning this one. I don't think the Giants have a defense. Mm-hmm. They don't have anybody. Last week proved it. I mean, the number one thing that I think Dave Gettleman should have done in the offseason was draft either a combination of Josh Allen or Montez Sweat. I think that, granted that you needed to go ahead and get Daniel Jones, which I think people just didn't like Daniel Jones because they never saw him play. You know, all these top scouts and all these guys, you know, what good football player have you ever seen coming from Duke? You can't name me one great football player from Duke. So, you know, I feel like that's maybe why the scouts doubted him, but he was a solid pick. I think they did do the right thing at number six getting him. I think he's going to be phenomenal. But I think at 17, there were so many other good defensive players available, and there were so many opportunities to trade and get another defensive player. They could have used that 17 pick for Clowney. They could have used that 17 pick for Frank Clark. They could have used that 17th pick for somebody else, somebody, anybody, but they didn't. I like Dexter Lawrence. I really like what he did at the combine. He's a good player, but I think he's a defensive tackle. He's a defensive tackle. He needs to be in the middle of that 3-4, but they have Dalvin Tomlinson already. And then, you know, now how is that going to work? It's the same thing that when they tried to play the 3-4 with Snacks and Dalvin Tomlinson. You can't have two defensive tackles on the line at the same time trying to pressure the quarterback. It's not going to work. That puts too much on your outside linebacker, whether it's on the weak or the strong side. So I just think that they got it all messed up over there. And right now, I think the Bills go ahead and take that one. It's probably going to be another blowout, like 40-10 Bills. The Giants can't stop anybody.
You know what? I had that the other way. I think the Giants are going to bounce back on this week. And I had it 28-17. As much as you know, I think the Bills are going to turn it around, unless that offensive line can protect the quarterback, and I don't see them beating the Giants. But let's go on to our next game of the week: the Vikings versus the Packers.
This is my game.
Now I know this is one of your teams. You know, Aaron Rodgers, and he's going to be facing the Vikings. But let's not pretend that the Vikings haven't been putting up numbers this week, because as you can see, the offense was putting up a phenomenal job last week, and the quarterback only had to throw the ball 10 times.
Yeah.
10 times, 10 passing attempts, and they were able to demolish the opponent.
You know, the Packers hold a special place in my heart. You know, since we was young kids, man, you know, we've been seeing Packers stuff since we was young kids, man. So, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, that's my man. You know, that's my dog. That's my number one quarterback. He's special. He's a bad man in my Stephen A. Impression.
Who you got winning this?
Packers going to throw it up. I think last week they played a better defense with the Bears. It was a division game, which I think was, you know, was early division game, tough. A lot going on. This is another division game 2 weeks in a row. But Aaron Rodgers is a smart guy. He can't go 1-1 in the division this early. He knows that. He's, you know.
I think they're losing again.
Oh,
I
got, man, the you tripping. Packers win this 135-10, man.
We're going to have to see. So our next game of the week is Cardinals versus Ravens. It's our last one. And I got the Ravens coming out on this one in a high scoring 42-28. I think the Ravens are going to keep going, and they're going to steamroll the Cardinals because the Cardinals defense is not doing much. I think Kingsbury's offense is going to be able to score and make some plays here and there because they are that smart. They are that intuitive. And plus, Kyler Murray is, you know, he can strike. He can strike, and he has feet. But I do think that the Ravens defense is going to overpower the Cardinals offense, and they're going to come out strong, especially that, you know, Lamar Jackson didn't even use his feet.
Nope, he did not
use his feet at all last game. So, you know, for him to be able to strike like that, I think
all right. I'm gonna go ahead and the Cardinals put up like maybe 14 points this week. I only see them throwing two touchdown passes, if that, against this Ravens defense. I think the Ravens are gonna, like you said, blow this out the park. This is going to be another blowout game. Mm-hmm. I know all of my scores have been like blowouts, but except for the Jets and Browns. But unfortunately, that's just the week that we're going, the way we're going this week. I think the Ravens put on another show. Mark Ingram, Marquise Hollywood Marquise Brown. I think he's going to be phenomenal.
Mr. Brown.
I think, you know, there was maybe some concern. He may or may not suit up today. I think he suits up. I think he plays. I think he dominates. He's my receiver in my money league. I need him to perform. He's going to do it. He's going to have maybe three touchdowns today. He is going to have a performance of a lifetime today. I think that this has been a great episode. We got our picks of the weekend. We definitely talked about our players and teams. We're definitely next. Yeah, me too.
I'm
next
excited.
Episode, we're going to be diving into the NFC South and the NFC East. We got a lot to talk about, a lot of things going on. So please tune in. Let us know. Send us in some messages. Let us know about your thoughts. If you have any questions, we will put you on the show. If you call in, we will put you on the show. You know, just call in, let us know, you know, what your thoughts are on our list, on our players, our picks of the week. Tell us your picks of the week. We would like to know. But coverage season, we really appreciate you guys coming in. It's a wrap. We're going to holler at you guys later.
All right. Have a good one. Later.